But then we have Niagara Falls. Now, every one of those things is like an awesome, when you look at it, you're standing there and you go, man, that is so cool. God created that. I can remember we went deep sea fishing one time, and we were sitting out in the boat, and we went so far out you couldn't see the land. And I'm sitting here going, man, this is, you know, I'm in the center of water all around me, and I can't see any land. And God created all this. And it was just like, man. So I'm always looking, we look out and see the creation that God has. But, you know, something's been dawning on me when I look. You know, my job, I have to go to a lot of doctor's offices. And I'm always going to one doctor's office or another. Some are nicer than the others. Some have nicer walls, and some have sort of rough-looking walls. But most, I'd probably say about 60 to 70% of the time, you go in the doctor's office, and what do you see hanging on the wall everywhere? You see posters. You see posters of your eyeball. You see posters of your kneecap. You see posters of your spinal cord and all these different things. And then they have these little models, and you go, and I like the one with the spinal cord because I'm like, does this really work like my spinal cord? And then I take it and bend it around like that when the doctor's not in there. So that way, you know, it doesn't look like I'm a kid. But the thing that I've been thinking about is we overlook the creation that's within us. The creation that God has right inside of our body, because we're always busy looking at the outer world. We're never looking on the inside of ourselves. And, you know, God created us, and it's just amazing to look at some of the body systems. So when you go to the doctor's office next time, be sitting there looking at the wall and go, man, look at that's cool. How that heart works. And then they have the ones where it shows you, well, if you have a heart murmur or you have a this or a that, and it shows you an example of it. And it shows you, you know, the creation that God has right here in our own bodies and just how great He is. But I wanted to look at the ear. Yes, I have a special fascination with the ear, because I can't hear very well. And so it just really amazes me when I think of my ear, and I was thinking about how could I describe the ear. And so I said, well, I'll go get a picture, and I'll show you guys. Let's see. Now, you see right here, this here, and I'm not going to tell you these highfalutin names. That's for the doctor's people, okay? I'm just going to tell you what the basic function is, okay? Because y'all going, well, we know this, Johnny. We have ears, but still, we're going to look at this. Now, y'all remember the old grannies back in the day that had the little funnel thing, and they were holding it up back before they had these things. And they were holding it. What'd you say? Huh? Well, God, in His infinite wisdom and His ability to create, He naturally built us a funnel system on our ear. So even before we got the bright idea to put a funnel up to our ear so we could hear better, God had already done it right there. Isn't that neat? And then the sound goes, we hear the vibrations, and they go down our inner ear right here. And it hits right there. You see the drum? Now, it's not like a bongo drum. It's another type of drum. It's got a membrane that stretches across the way, and it's connected to these bones right here, the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. Now, I wanted to say those because I remember getting those in class. Because these three bones right here are so crucial to you being able to hear. If one of these little bones right here is out of whack, then you can't hear. One of them little bones right there. Now, if you look right here, it's connected to the cochlea. And you've heard of cochleal implants. It's where they put this system and it hooks into your cochlea. And somehow it allows it to work like it's supposed to. But if you look up here, this is where you got your cochlea right here. See? And what they did is they rolled it out straight. So it's not like a snail anymore. It's like a worm or something. Well, anyway, when the vibrations come through the eardrum right here and hit this bone and hit that bone and hit this bone, it vibrates the fluid in your ear. So when you hear, it's going through this fluid that's in your ear, and inside of yonder is a bunch of little bitty hairs that can pick up the vibrations. And then those things, they translate it for your brain. And you're saying, well, Johnny, what's the big deal about this? What's this got to do with the gospel? This is a biology course. Well, guess what? God created us and He created all the biology courses, okay? But this is very important because this shows a picture of how God created us to be able to hear. And so I was trying to think, what would an engineer call this? What, Ray, engineer person? The best thing I could say is for the ear is it is simply complex. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you look at it, you say there's three bones. But if something's just not right, makes you hearing it. And if something ain't right, you'll be hearing that ringing in your ears all the time because you've been listening to that loud music in the car. All you older people, I know y'all be driving down the street with your loud systems vibrating and bothering everybody. But God has made this ear, and we say to ourselves, well, let's see. I can remember back in the day. Now, what caused? Wait a minute. I'm getting used to this. When I first found out that I had hearing loss. Now, you're saying, well, Johnny, how do you hear? You hear, Johnny. Well, yeah, I hear. But when I hear it, and it's not male selective hearing, ladies, like some women would say. What it is it's distorted. So if you put cotton in your ears and rolled it up and put it in your ears, that's what it sounds like to me without my hearing aids on. It sounds all distorted, and I'm like, and then sometimes people sound like the teacher from the Peanuts, wah, 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 like that. So, but praise the Lord, I have hearing aids. But I can remember the first time I went into the doctor's office, went in there, and, you know, they do this test on you, and can you hear this, can you hear that? And then they do all these weird sounds, and then they do something, I think it's called bone conduction or something. They do something from the back of your ear to see if it's, and they do all these different things to try to find out what you're hearing. And then they say, well, we're going to hook you up with some hearing aids. And I said, well, man, that's great. So he gets my hearing aids on, he puts them in my ears. And I remember, I'm thinking, you know, is it going to be like Mary Poppins or something, you know, the sound of music and, you know, and everything, and it's real magical and everything. Now, I will say when I walked out of the doctor's office, I did hear some birds singing, okay? But then it got covered by the construction site that was down the road, and I could hear it just as well as the birds singing. So, but that's, I mean, it's very crucial for us to be able to hear things. And one thing I was going to tell y'all about, I don't know if y'all have ever heard, anybody ever heard of Gallaudet University? Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. What I remember, I took some sign language when I was in college, and while I was there, they told us about Gallaudet University. Gallaudet University has the loudest library in the country because the majority of the students there are deaf. So you go in the library, and it's nothing for somebody to come in there and be slamming the books down and slamming the chairs and just making all sorts of racket. And you're sitting there going, man, I'm trying to read here, you know, and they're slamming stuff. But they can't hear anything that's going on. And it just sort of gives you a different perspective of the world and be able to imagine not being able to hear at all. I mean, I have to praise the Lord. I got the hearing that I have. But just imagine not being able to hear at all. But, you know, God has a spiritual purpose for the ear. He didn't just give us an ear just so we could hear noises. He gave us, it says in Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, in my carnal state, I'm not going to be searching for the gospel. But God here, He wants, there is us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how are we transformed? How do we get to be where our mind is renewed? I mean, at one time, my mind was an old nasty, I mean, it wasn't thinking of things of God. I didn't desire the things of God. But God had put somebody in my path to speak the gospel to me. And that through this hearing system, He's able to renew my mind. To make my mind new. To make it go in a direction that would be pleasing to God. And that we would be looking for things that to change our life, so that we could be that living sacrifice, so that we could be holy, so we could be acceptable unto God, is that we needed to be saved. That was the first renewing part of, but it said, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous though. Need some water. So what I wanted to do tonight was look at three spiritual communications that help with renewing our mind. Okay? So the first one is evangelical communication. Now this is the first communication you get when you're an unbeliever and somebody comes and they give you that evangelistic message and they lead you to Christ. And in Romans 10:13, it talks about this specifically, and 10:13-7, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and, wait a minute, preach the gospel in peace and bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our reports? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So at some point in time, somebody had to sit down with Johnny Al. Because I'm going to tell you, in my carnal state, Johnny Al wasn't picking up the Bible. Okay? Johnny Al wasn't looking for God in his carnal state. Johnny Al was looking for what pleased Johnny Al. Wasn't looking for what pleased God. So, I'm sure everybody in here could raise their hand and say, well, I don't know, let me see. Is there one person or two people or a small group of people or I don't know, 100 people, that were instrumental in you being saved? Can anybody say they have one person that was instrumental in them being saved? Can anybody raise their hand and say, okay? Okay. And so, everybody else got saved. They sat down and read the Bible and they got saved. Is that how it happened? No, somebody came by and talked to you and said, hey, let me explain this to you. Let me tell you about the gospel. And something that I've never really thought about until we went to Skyland is a lot of people have been talking to I think it was Joe Reese, who was one of the speakers up there. And then I also got a book called One Thing You Cannot Do in Heaven. And it was by Mark Carhill. And what they were saying from what I was getting from both of the guys was something I don't do. It said, do you pray that today You will meet somebody and you will witness to them. Today, you know, when you get up and you say, you know, Lord, please bring somebody along that you would make it possible for me to preach the gospel and spread and sow a seed in somebody. I have to say I haven't done that. I hadn't really thought, I mean, I prayed about specific individuals like, you know, my sister Emily. I prayed for her salvation and Candace and several other people that I think of specifically, but I've never really said, well, you know, would God just bring somebody to me? And I think Joe Reese was talking about when he gets on the airplane that he would pray that the Lord would put him next to somebody. And then Mark Carhill, he was saying he was on fire evangelism. The whole book is talking about evangelism and different tips about evangelism and things that, you know, and actually gives examples of some of the interactions that you would have and how to deal with this situation, that situation. No, no, no. But he would go out like on a, I think, I'm trying to remember, it was some place and it was on the rough side of town, and he would go down there to try to witness to people at night. I'm like, at night? But that's when the most of the souls are there that need the most saving. So he went down there and he would pray, when I go out there tonight, I want to meet somebody and give them the gospel. I want to communicate the word of God, the gospel message. And lo and behold, while he was there, he was telling the story about he was coming out one day and he saw this these two ladies sitting there, and one of them was sitting on the mailbox, and he started talking to her, and she wasn't saved, and he said, I've been praying for somebody that I could witness to them. And she said, you know what? You're the person. You are why I'm here. She said that to him. And he said, what are you talking about? Well, my time to be in is past. I'm supposed to be at the house at 11 o'clock. And for some reason, I said, I'm just going to stay out here all night. And so she went, and lo and behold, here comes this fellow and starts witnessing, giving her the gospel, and plants the seed for Christ. So it's important that we spread the gospel. We tell people about the gospel. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here. Well, a lot of us wouldn't be here. I can only really think of maybe one or two people that actually said they read the Bible and that's how they got saved. I mean, from people I've actually conversated with, and they said, yeah, that's how I got saved. Just a handful. They needed somebody to guide and direct them. And so that's why we're talking about the evangelistic communication. And one of the most popular parts that I like in the Bible where it talks about Philip. And you know that passage is in Acts 8. And you know how it goes. He is told by God, the angel of the Lord said, Philip, we want you to go down here. And so he arose and went. And then it says, let me just find it here. I just read it. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Philip's like, you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like the lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of him and of some other, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened the mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So we see here is this man, this eunuch, sitting in the chariot reading the scripture. Don't have a clue what he's reading. He's like, oh, this is neat. Might be, it's almost like getting a letter in another language. And you can't understand what it's saying. And then you need an interpreter to come by you and say, hey, this is what he's meaning. That's what Philip did. He came by and explained the gospel and told him that this passage is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he got saved. And then he got baptized. And then he went on his way rejoicing. So what happened to his mind? He got a renewing of his mind right there on the spot. He was sold out for Christ at that moment in time. The Lord used Philip to change his mind. Now, the second thing, type of communication we're going to do is edifying communication. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we are supposed to be using our communication to edify one another. It's hard sometimes though, because we all different people, and we got different personalities, we got different likes and dislikes and different ways. And so, I mean, there's going to be times you say something that it's not going to come across right. And it's important to the hearer, the person that's hearing whatever it is that's relayed to somebody, that they get the truth. Because sometimes things are miscommunicated. And because of, I mean, that sticks and stones thing may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I mean, that's true. And I think it's some manly man that made that up because he didn't want to say anything about words hurting him. But sometimes when people say stuff, it gets to you. It gets you mad. Might hurt your feelings. Might get sad. I don't know. I know some of you guys probably nothing phases you. It rolls right off your back. You got skin like leather and it's just like fine and dandy. But I hate to say it, but I'm not always like that. The Lord didn't make me that way. I know that I've heard people say my gift is the gift of mercy. And so maybe it's because of that, because I have a little bit more, maybe a little bit more feels of things, feelings about stuff. And I hope, you know, but feelings don't make you any less of a man. Sometimes it makes you more passionate. Feelings make you love the Lord more. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here, so let's get back. So we're supposed to edify each other. Now, does that mean just say, "Hey, Ray, you look nice today. You're just a wonderful person, Ray. You're just great." Is it always going to be compliments to somebody? No, I was talking that, Ray. No. Is it always going to be compliments to somebody that is going to be edifying? No. Yes, we should try to be nice to each other, and we should be respectful. It says that we should be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. But sometimes it's not being nice to each other. Sometimes it means telling each other the truth. Sometimes, to build somebody up, you have to tell them, say, "Look, you know, what's going on in your situation now ain't right. You need to really get with the Lord and maybe find some of those scriptures or communicate those things to him or her, so that way you build them up." Instead of saying, "Yes, I ain't no good, blah, 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 and you just need to leave our church and don't never come back." That's not edifying anybody. That's not bringing unity to the body. That's causing a division. So we need to work toward creating unity. And one way to do that is by communicating, like it says right here. Sometimes I think that the main way is that is hearing the preachers that come and they tell us the message. Now, there's a lot of brothers that teach really well from the scripture, and the word that they teach us is to transform this. It goes back to that renewing your mind. So you've been saved, and now you're renewing your mind. You're bringing more understanding of God's ways, more understanding of His gospel. And I'm ashamed, because when I first got saved, I didn't really understand how Jesus was able to pay the penalty of our sins. I didn't understand that. And I didn't really understand the concept that He was perfect and holy, because I was just a young rugrat believer. But then somebody would come by and say, look at this passage. This is what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's holy and blameless, and He's perfect, it's because of that that our sins can be forgiven. Why His blood is so valuable. Why His blood is so valuable? Because He is perfect and holy, and then He shed it for us. You learn things as you go. And that's what that edifying communication does. It's hearing the gospel from the preachers, hearing a kind word from your friends, and when you're doing discipleship and you're swaying Ray off based on some passage or something, and they say, "Well, look, hey, you got to get back over this way. You're way off base. You got to come back over here," and so He guides you back into the Word, and that helps to renew your mind. Now, the final communication that I'm talking about tonight is not that one. This one is worship communication. You know, have you ever been in the car and you listen to that song, whatever it might be, and you go, "Praise the Lord," or you hear that message and the brother says something and it's so profound, you go, "Man, praise the Lord, that is just so great." And it just like changes your complete day. I believe that when you praise the Lord, that you're reaffirming who He is, and you're saying, "You're in charge." So you're when you worship and praise Him, you're reminding yourself, just like we do in worship service, remind yourself that He's in charge. So whatever you're facing that day, you can go, "Praise the Lord." You can worship the Lord and say, He is altogether lovely. He is awesome. He is wonderful. He is powerful. He is greater than whatever battle I'm facing right now. And that worship will put your mind, it'll renew your mind and put it back into thinking, hey, that's the perspective I need to have. That's where I need to be focusing, that He's in charge, not me. We're going to get through this situation. This battle is not going to overcome me. The Lord Jesus Christ is with me. And that's what happens when you praise Him. And another thing is you got to get used to it. You've got to start getting used to enjoying worship. I know I've probably talked about it before, but that's okay. I'll talk about it again. When we go into worship and you hear, and I'm like, sit down, and the first thing I say, that just everything just left. I am in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just complete peace. Worship starts. You're reminded of who He is and where He should be in your life. And it's just amazing. But when you look in Revelation in chapter 5, verse 9, 13, it says, "And I beheld and I heard the voices of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever.'" They're saying this in heaven out loud. Worship. When we come in here to worship, like I was telling somebody, some brothers the other day, that back when I was a Rugrat believer, I would hear some brothers pray. And it just, you would hear them pray, and it was like, man, it would just blow you away. Man, I wished I could pray like that. I wished I could say a word like that. I wished I had something to offer like that. And then it gets to the point where you're like, I gotta offer something. I gotta give something. I gotta bring some words. I gotta say something about the Lord Jesus Christ that says how great He is. And then the one thought that comes to my mind, and if you come in here during worship service and didn't nobody show up, and no, not because of rapture, but nobody showed up, would you have something to say? Would you still have worship service? Would you get the bread, the cup and the bread out? Would you stand up and say something to worship the Lord, if you were by yourself? Because the thing that keeps us from getting up and praising the Lord is usually them other guys in the room with us. You know, you're sitting in the car before you come in, or the night before, and you're like, man, I'm going to get up, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to worship the Lord with all my heart. And then you get there and you're like, well, I don't know. Dr. Jeff might not like that. That may not come out right. Oh, Mr. Steve, he's looking at me real serious like. I must have said something wrong. But, no offense, brothers. But we ain't here for y'all. Worship service is not for y'all. It is for the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to worship Him and praise Him. And that's what we should do. We shouldn't be afraid of men. I'm sitting here looking at these little kids, and I'm thinking, when I was a Rugrat believer, but I wasn't that little when I was a Rugrat believer. I wished I had been a younger believer, but I wish I could have had the guts just to get up and give a song. And I remember Jerry's like, man, Johnny, you know, you're putting your feelings before the caboose before the engine. You should just get up and do it, you know. And I've been getting coaching from all the brothers. Jerry, I know, coached me. Ray's coached me, you know. And I know there's some brothers that are probably getting coached. There are women that are praying for us to get up and chair at the worship service. I know that happened. I've heard of some little old lady that was, well, I had been sitting there praying that little Johnny, and I had to say down, little Johnny would get up and share something today. And sure enough, the Lord answered her prayer and he got up and shared. So we need to do, and I often wonder when I first met Jerry and when I got saved, I remember Jerry was like, Johnny, you need to come to church Sunday. And I was like, yeah. And he says, well, and you know, we're going to have the worship service. And when they get done with the worship service, I want you to tell everybody what happened to you. What the Lord has done for you. And I'm like, what? I don't know these people. I just met them. And I was thinking about this verse. It says, in Matthew 10:29, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Man, that sort of just slaps you in the face right, John. It's like, man, I got to get up and say something. Because I want him to say something to the Father about me. I want him to go, did you hear what Johnny said today? Man, he was praising me left and right. And that song you gave out, you're not looking for the, I guess you, well, I don't know if this would sort of sound backwards or not. You're not really looking for the praise of men. You're wanting to please God by coming and worship. Well, that's all I have for this evening, but let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you tonight for this message, and I thank you for loving us, Father, enough to send your Son to die for us. And Father, in our worldly ways, Father, we're still so far. And learning something every day, learning more and more about your Son, learning more about how great he is, Father. Just pray that you would help us, Father, when we see somebody. Almost, we need to have that desire to want to share the word with them. And when we see our brothers, we encourage them and build them up so they'll be stronger. We all facing some type of battle. And Father, you sent us, you made the bodies so we could be there for each other. The body works together. And Father, I just pray that you would make that so for us. And Father, always, never let men get in the way of us telling you how much we appreciate you. And Father, just thank you for your Son. Praise you for him. In Jesus' name. Amen.